Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. I have a very special guest with me today, the Grammy-nominated Billboard charting recording artist and pioneering sound healer, Stephen Halpern. Welcome, Stephen, to Voice Rising.
Well, thank you, Kara. It's a delight to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. So, Stephen, you are considered by many to be the father of New Age music. You've been doing this for decades. You've released more than 100 albums, the newest being Cannabis Dreams. How does it feel to have a new album out?
It always feels really good, but this one feels particularly wonderful because it has such a long gestation period. Because of the changing legal structure and the laws, it's now legal to even have an album titled Cannabis Dreams. But as a musician, of course, I go back to my early days being introduced to cannabis, to marijuana, by poets and musicians, and reading the European writers of the 1800s and the early 1900s about all the spiritual and creative aspects, not what is called recreational necessarily, and not just getting stoned, but using marijuana, the green energy, and the spirit of the plant to enliven the human spirit and to be as a source of inspiration and spirituality, which has been lost in a lot of the publicity and certainly a lot of the research. It's something that's really hard to research, of course, but in my own life, as a very small user, I say that I personally invented my own form of micro-dosing 45 years ago, but yeah. Using the herb as an ally on some of my albums, certainly not all of them, certainly not even most of them, but particularly on the songs that are part of the Cannabis Dreams album and the album that came before that, that was called Echoes of a Dream. Yes, there were definite connections, and that also tapped back into research that I started 45 years ago when I started noticing that I would hear different music and play different music with different strains of marijuana, different strains of cannabis, and I didn't hear or read anybody ever talking about that back in the 60s or 70s. For a lot of us, we were just so happy to have anything to smoke. There was no way to do any focused research. But now that things are legal and you could get the same strain month after month at a dispensary, there is both medical research and so much other research, and as a musician, musical research. And that's where this album was born. And literally, if you read the liner notes, you know that it actually began, got me thinking about this, in 1982 when a friend of mine from college, I happened to run into 10 years later on a bus in Vancouver, brought back from his studies with shamanic healers in Alaska, and he turned me on to a sample of what the shamanic healers use. And when I had a toke of that, I heard music in my head. It changed the music I was playing. And I wondered, how could this be? How could, you know, something be that specific? And when I went back the next week into the studio, I got into the same place. But I couldn't talk about this publicly because it was still illegal. So that's how far back the album goes. So when it finally came out this year, it was like giving birth, but a really long birth.
Yeah, a really long gestation period, 1982 to we almost have 2022. So we're talking
right.
about a good 3 decades, right? And
right.
I mean, I'm over here in Europe. We, you know, anybody who knows Amsterdam, it's a little bit easier. But I believe in America, also not all states has it been legalized, but a lot of states have legalized marijuana or cannabis or cannabis oil, right?
Right.
You talk about, in those liner notes, you talk about it almost being cannabis dream, almost dreams being like a duet, as if you could really feel the spirits of these different strains. And each track, I believe, or some of the tracks are with the same strain, but
right.
they're really composed. I think that is really beautiful. When I was researching for this interview with you, I was doing the research on ancient Tibet, on incredible spiritual portals opening, on really beautiful things that these plants can give us. I'd like to share a bit of your music and start with the track 1 off of this album. You are working with the songstress Kristen Hoffman on this track.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share a little bit about this track before we listen to it?
Sure. This basic composition began 6 years ago, and then when I met Kristen and had her add her vocals, it took the music into a whole other dimension. But then, starting in 2017 and working and hanging out with the music in 2018, I would often listen as I'm editing and as I'm falling asleep. And in dreams, I started hearing variations, some with her voice, some without the voice, some with my electric piano, some without the electric piano. And each version had its own different high. Each version had its own beauty. And as a producer, I said, I can't choose which one I like better. I'm going to put all 3 versions on the album. So track 1 is the first version that's the most produced, and then we go into more subtle variations. So that's what we'll be listening to, Cannabis Dreams, track 1.
Beautiful. Here you go. You are listening to Cannabis Dreams. Stephen Halperin is here with me in studio, and that was the voice of, let me check and make sure, Kristen Hoffman, correct?
Right, right.
Yeah, beautiful. An amazing album. I think you can get high just putting it into your ears and drifting, and you don't need to smoke any cannabis, but
absolutely. And thank you for right? saying that. Thank you for saying that. I'm in fact inspired. In dreams, I got the words an auditory contact high to explain what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. Stephen, you're the world's or one of the world's leading composers of music for sound health. Like I mentioned in the beginning, over 100 albums. Your music is also well documented to help patients manage stress, pain, sleep deficiency, and it does help us feel good and get high. When was a turning point in your life as a musician where you decided to commit yourself to music that helps heal humanity?
Literally it happened during one magnificent meditation. Shortly after I arrived in California for what I thought was a two-week visit before I went back to graduate school at the University of Buffalo, mm-hmm. a very cold place, in California, I found myself in a redwood grove, a meditation area, and very unexpectedly fell into a really deep meditation and started hearing music that sounded like what I've been playing ever since. I also heard for one of the few times in my life a voice inside my head, because I had been reading about the healing powers of music in my undergraduate studies around the world and was going to do a graduate program of cross-cultural manifestations of healing music and higher consciousness, how different cultures have used sound and music to bring them into closer attunement with the divine, with higher power, with however we want to call that. And I had my own personal vision quest. I wanted to know what healing music would sound like in the late 20th century as opposed to what healing music was in ancient Egypt or ancient Greece, because we had mm-hmm. historical stories about that, but no one knows exactly what the music sounded like because we don't have recordings from back then. We have some instruments, but all the strings of the stringed instruments have deteriorated, so we really don't know. But in that meditation, I basically was still a jazz trumpet player and a jazz rock guitar player. There was no field of healing music, and there was a question, so what do I do? I have a new form of music. I started playing it for friends at meditation groups, and people would say, we would like to take that music home with us. Why don't you have an album? Why don't you have even put it out on cassettes? Well, cassettes weren't invented yet. So, mm-hmm. you know, I had to wait for the technology to come around. And it still took a couple years, but interestingly, within 2 weeks after having that internal vision, the place that I was invited to join the staff was a leading, at that point it was called Human Potential Movement. It was the sister organization of the famous Esalen Institute. And world-class scientist Dr. Stanley Krippner said, this music is extraordinary, but if you really want to be taken seriously by the scientific world, if this is a breakthrough in healing with sound, you need to prove it. You need to document it with biofeedback research, brainwave research, and other forms of biofeedback. And I said, I'm not a scientist. How do I even do that? And he said, aha, I am just becoming the director of a humanistic psychology institute, and we have a biofeedback lab that's one of the best in the United States. And if you're a graduate student, you could use it for free, and you could experiment on students for free. I said, I'm in. Count me in. So I applied, and that was my life-changing thing. But still, even during the research, the other researchers said the difference between the relaxing and healing effects of your music compared to the most relaxing classical music was night and day. And one of the associates scientists said, this is no longer just your research project. You need to get this information out to the world. So that was in March 1973. And I look at him and says, okay, I have no money. I know nothing about business. I don't have a record company. When I bring my music to record companies, they say, where's the beat? Where are the words? Yeah. What do we call it? And 2 years later, at a Christmas party, I met the first engineer who was building his home studio that was a multi-track for independent artists. I said, I'm going to be your first client. And that's what started me off on making what I thought was just going to be one or two albums, and then I'd go back to teaching music, maybe being a music professor at some college. And the response from people kept coming in and said, we want more. What else do you have? Do another album. And that's when my life really shifted, and I started taking the concept of starting a record label, an independent record label, with myself as the president, because I didn't know any better, really started taking shape. And that the recording was done January 4th, 1975. The first album hit, came to my house. I had 1,000 sitting in my living room, which is when I realized they don't move out by themselves. I have to learn how to publicize them. I have to learn how to sell them. And that was the beginning in 1975. And it's been a long process of hiring other people who said they knew how to do things and did not produce results. And ultimately, now about 25 years ago, I really got serious about understanding the marketplace as an instrument, and then really as the technology of recording kept increasing, can get increasingly sophisticated in the sorts of music I record. And let me just mention one other thing. What we just heard, I begin with it's like if you're baking a cake, you have some basic ingredients that you always use. Well, starting in 2009, I started working with a psychoactive bed of sound that always would get me into the zone, and it would typically include some brainwave entrainment tones that I was also researching. And on this album, because cannabis is of the earth, I chose the basic harmonic frequency of the earth itself. It's about 8 cycles per second. You can't hear it, but it's also known as a Schumann resonance. It's the fundamental frequency at which the earth itself vibrates, as with the atmosphere itself pulses at about 8 cycles per second. And that is built into the music. So that's that kind of low, continuous sound. And then mixed subtly inside there are pulses of what can be called frequency following tones or binaural beats. It goes by different names, but that's what gets my brain into the deeper meditative frequencies. And then as you listen, it gets your brain. So it happens very quickly. Coming from New York, I've always been kind of a speedy kind of guy, and when I want to get relaxed or when I want to get into the zone, I don't want to wait 20 minutes. I want to get there in 20 seconds. And when I first brought my music to the music therapy world, they said, there's no music that could do that. You have to listen to 20 minutes of this song or an hour of this symphony. And it was like, excuse me, I don't have that much time. What do you have that'll get me there, you know, virtually instantaneously? Now, one other thing that I really want to bring out in this context is that the wonderful vocalist that we heard did not sing on this song. She sang on another song that's the title track of Echoes of a Dream, which came out 2 years earlier. But in Dream, I was told that I can take part of that audio performance, that vocal performance, and put it on another composition that I was working on. And, of course, it worked perfectly. So I thanked my dreams. I thanked the strains that I was smoking that gave me that inspiration. And that was that's when I knew the album had a life of its own, that I was being communicated with on some level. And I remember reading about the early reports of anthropologists in South America speaking to the shaman. And he said, you know, the plants, and not just cannabis, but various plants, the medicinal plants, they speak to us. They tell us how to use them for healing. And I said, wouldn't it be great if the cannabis plant spoke to me? And that became part of my prayer. And it doesn't necessarily speak to me in words, but I get ideas and I hear things, and then I could translate that in the studio.
Beautiful, Stephen. We're going to take a very, very short break and be back with more about Cannabis Dreams and your amazing work for our world.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio is Stephen Halpern. Stephen is a pioneer in sound healing. He has a new album out called Cannabis Dreams, and we are talking all about this amazing album that he just brought onto the market. Stephen, there's a saying, every illness is a musical problem. The Healing is a Musical Solution, which I have always loved. When I was doing my research, it said that actually cannabis is approximately 28 million years ago and was discovered on the Eastern Tibetan Plateau. That blew my mind. And I guess if we know all this, cannabis, ayahuasca, peyote, mushrooms, all these plant medicines you were talking about at the beginning of the show were used by poets, by artists, by painters, jazz musicians, mystics, shamans, yogis, to alter the state of consciousness or to bring in messages that might keep us connected to all worlds, right? All layers of reality. It seems odd that it's such a well-kept, guarded secret and that its legality only came in 2021, because while I was researching, there was just amazing amount of research that this plant medicine has been around for eons.
Exactly. Now, you know, if you go back in time, you think about it, if you are living, let's say even 2,000 years ago, think about the people who said, I think I'll chew that leaf. Now nothing happens. How do you even think about, well, let's see what happens if we smoke it? But at some point, obviously, people got the bright idea to smoke it, and then they said, this feels good. It, you know, helps me, you know, relax or get in touch with my spiritual essence. So we don't know exactly how that happened, but clearly, from some of the stories I've read, the plants would communicate with certain individuals and give them the insight, here, you know, put this into your pipe and smoke it and watch what happens. And then it just becomes a political game of control, because certainly in America, things many of the quote, drugs that are now illegal were legal for many years. Marijuana, cannabis became illegal because of money, because it was a competitor for the chemical industry. It was politics. It was racist. I mean, all this information is coming out now. Even the name marijuana was because a lot of people from Mexico and South America were smoking it, so they gave it a kind of the name that was used there, as opposed to cannabis or a name that was generated in our country, in the English language. So things are just coming back into balance the way they should have been. But, you know, you have to look at the political structures that don't want people to be in control of their own spirituality. You can have a direct contact with your own divine self, your own spiritual essence, through a number of different modalities. You don't have to go through a priest or someone else as the intermediary. This is a direct connection. And I've always been a direct connection kind of guy, and anything that allows me to go directly to source and tap in, and certainly to get me into a place, certainly in the jazz world, is when I first heard the concept of getting into the zone. When you're playing and you've learned, you've practiced 8 hours a day for months and years, and I did that so that my technical proficiency was at a certain point, that you don't have to think about the scales and the chords anymore. The music just flows. And for me, in September 1965 was the first time I had the experience playing trumpet where the trumpet started playing itself. That's much more difficult than a piano playing itself, because you could just wiggle your fingers on the keyboard, which is what I was doing in that first time I started playing the music, in a relaxed, meditative state. On trumpet, you have to be fully engaged, get your embouchure right, your diaphragm support, but the concept is tapping in, getting into the zone. And when I fine-tune my hearing, I listen to the spaces between the notes, the silences between the notes. And when people listen to this music, particularly on headphones, not just as background music, but when you listen carefully, you will get taken to the same place that I am when I was hearing the music. And that's part of the benefit. I mean, any music that we listen to is composed and is recorded with an overlay of the vibrational state of the musician, meaning that music is a carrier wave of consciousness. If the performer is angry or lustful, those vibrations will go into the music. That's certainly what heavy metal and death metal is all about, and punk rock, anger and yelling and all sorts of things. My need was for something to help me de-stress, to help me make my spiritual connection. So that was always my search and my quest. And a lot of what I've recorded over the years were part of my own search and my own research for things that would work for me. When I found something, I would often play it for other people. And if they said, yes, where can we buy it, then I would proceed along with that way. And certainly being in the studio, which is what I call my temple of sound, would allow me to get into such a quiet space where I could tap into a level of music that I don't do at home, that I don't do necessarily on stage, where it's just me and the engineer and the silence and then the music coming through. And so many times I don't even hear the music until I listen to playback. The music comes through of its own. It has a life of its own, and I am a conduit. And that's one of the highest forms of service, to bring through music that serves the highest and best in the listener. It's very different than my training in the jazz and rock world, where musicians would demonstrate how technically proficient they were. And if I could play these scales on trumpet faster than anybody else, I got great reviews. It was about me. Now the music is about what the music will do for the listener. It's a very different change of perspective. It's not ego anymore. It's the music being in service. And while I'm at it, let me just comment on your comment about music and the source of disease. Maybe not music, but sound. One of the great pioneers, Dr. Hans Jenny and Dr. Peter Guy Manners in England, talks about when you have organs that are out of tune with each other, there is an element of stress and dis-ease. And part of the concept of health is when our body and all our atoms and molecules and cells and glands are working in harmony with each other. And many times illness and dis-ease is a lowering of vibratory rate. So how do we bring the vibratory rate? We inject, and you listen to vibrations that bring up the total vibratory reality, and then healing happens, because our bodies want to be in balance, they want to be in tune, and properly composed music, and as you know, using your voice, can assist the body in doing what it wants to do, what it knows how to do, what it has been biologically programmed to do. But so many things in our current society keep us knocked out of tune. And we could spend a whole hour just talking about how many things knock us out of tune, keep us out of tune, with the electromagnetic pollution and air pollution and so many other things. Sound and music is right there. It's been there for thousands of years. And what I started saying in 1975 publicly with my first album is, we need to start using this. This is a gift available to us. And don't worry about where's the melody, where's the beat. All music doesn't have to have that. The concept of sacred sound often is more ambient and slower. And what happens with slower music, it helps you slow down your brain waves into the brain waves that relate to meditation and healing.
Stephen, I want to play one more track. You were talking about the plants have signatures like music, and we want to really experience this album and the beauty that you've, like you said, a conduit. You are a channel. As a voice person myself, I can totally get where you're coming from. Do you want to say anything about plant medicine, or should we just listen in?
I will stop that off. Now, again, you'll hear the low sustained tones. That sets the tonal center of the music, because a lot of the music I play is modal as opposed to going through lots of chord changes, which is, of course, the Western European classical tradition. A lot of the music around the world is modal. It has one tonal center, and it stays there. It doesn't go through many chord changes. Now, interestingly, if people know my music and have listened to the album Deep Alpha 2.0, they will recognize a similarity between this track and that track. What I did is I left out the bamboo flute and focused more on the sound of the electric piano. And when I did that, it took me to a different place, because I couldn't focus as much on the melody of the flute, which is the natural way our brains are trained to follow a melody, a lead instrument. So now we're letting the tone of the electric piano and the background really take you deeper into the space between the notes.
Beautiful. Let's listen into Plant Medicine from Stephen Halpern's Cannabis Dreams.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on Om Times Radio called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and let yourself be transformed.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstead, and with me in studio today is pioneering sound healer, Stephen Halpern. Stephen, Carlos Santana said, there's a divine light in each of us. When we discover and follow our own one-of-a-kind symmetry, the world shines. And by lifting veils of illusion and stress, cannabis opens corridors to divine wisdom, universal oneness, and the treasure of our individuality, whether for creative expression or profound stillness. It's a gift for spiritual well-being and has been a traditional remedy in his family for many generations. You have two tracks off of your new album, or two tracks you recorded that were very inspired by Carlos Santana's, now you're going to have to pronounce this for me, Mirario. No, do it for me.
Mirario, and Carlos translate that as ray of light.
And, excellent.
Right. So, and that quote, I think, came from his website, and it's certainly similar. Yes. Okay. That's why I'm familiar with it. As I had finished my album, Cannabis Dreams, and it was as long as it is now, and I read a news report and an interview with him in Forbes magazine, a business magazine of all places, and I read what he was saying about that, and I said, well, that's some of the same words and key terms that I was using in 2015 when I was working on a joint venture with a leading dispensary here in Northern California to put in an album. And we actually went as far as naming it. It was called Mystic Haze, and the intention was that the cannabis would be spiritually uplifting, healing, relaxing, and good for meditation. So unfortunately, that company didn't continue that program, but I did put an album together, and the main tracks, the Cannabis Dream themes, were composed with whatever their strain was. I went back to get some more, and it was gone already. One of the things that I really appreciate about the fact that the field has so much legality now is I can go back month after month and get the same strain. And for me, I like something that's predictable. And when I, just like if I eat a vitamin or eat an apple, I want to feel a certain way. I don't like to be surprised all the time. I'd like to know I could count on a certain strain. So I read the interview. I called up my local, went online to my local dispensary. They delivered some. And I said, well, let's see if it's as good as he said. Well, Cara, I got to tell you, 10 minutes after I had my one toke, I suddenly had to get up out of my office, go outside and meditate. And in that meditation, out under my big redwood tree, I was told, you need to do a new song inspired by this strain. So I said, yes, indeed. And I was able to find one local studio that was open. I went in on 11/11/2020, and did two new songs that replaced two other songs on the album because it was so significant and so uplifting that I said, this has to be on the track. Now, I haven't spoken to Carlos about this. I don't even know if he knows about it yet. I'll be doing that this week, at least trying to get through his website and his marketing associates. But the point is that I was inspired, and it does, in other words, the growers are now able to grow with specific genetic influences so that when we consume this particular strain, it will have a recognizable and predictable effect. Well, that really speaks to my need and desire to know what I'm getting into, and I found that it really lived up to its hype. And that's how this the two tracks, Mario, Cannabis Dreams, Mario Part 1 and 2, the relationship is Part 1 includes my electric piano, and Part 2 leaves it out. They take you to a different high. One is more subtle. Neither one I recommend driving with, but when you're comfortable at home, particularly if you're listening on headphones, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and let the music carry you. We know it'll be balancing both hemispheres of the brain. You'll be in a deep alpha state, and just enjoy.
Beautiful. Let's listen to a few moments of this amazing track.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Merario, the track off, I believe it's track 2 from Cannabis Dreams album. Stephen Halpern is with me in studio. Stephen, do you see yourself as a flame keeper, someone who makes sure that the ancient knowledge of sound and plant medicine is not forgotten?
Absolutely. In fact, that was one of the earliest realizations I had as I went through this major career shift. That was not only part of my job this incarnation, but it builds on work that I've done in previous incarnations. That's a whole other, you know, hour discussion perhaps, but I've been honored and privileged to have some past life readings and some deep psychic readings. In fact, one of the major ones was with Kevin Ryerson and Atan Ray, who was the channel that opened Shirley MacLaine, the great actress and a spiritual teacher now, to her past lives. And what I was told there confirmed so many things for me. In fact, when I was in Egypt in 1980 and 1981, just being inside some of the temples inside the Great Pyramid activated some things on an inner plane, certainly activated some ancient memory banks. And I started knowing things that I didn't know before, and that has informed some of the music that I've done since then. So very definitely, that's been part of my calling, part of my mission this lifetime, and it also taps back into some of my mentors in the Impressionists of the late 1800s, musicians like Debussy and Ravel, and painters like Monet, who in fact, reading books about the lives of some of these composers and artists, my faculty advisors in grad school said some of the same words exactly to me that the critics said to Debussy and Monet, that you're not following the rules, you're violating the rules of composition, you're doing this. And I said, yes, and because I do that, my music does things that your music can't do. Let me give you a brief example. As we listen to most music, our brains naturally analyze and predict where the music is going. If I sing this little phrase, this series of ascending frequencies, watch what happens at the end with your breath and in your mind. If I sing the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and if I don't finish, right, thank you. If I don't finish that, it's like a scaleless interruptus. Your brain will put that tone out into your brain. Many people will actually vocalize that to have the completion. Well, that's when we're listening to music that forces us to project into the future, we can't be in the present moment. We're not in the now. That's the essence of mindfulness, to tune into the present awareness, the present moment, the power of now, as Eckhart Tolle writes so eloquently about in his book, The Power of Now. Well, that's what my music forces me to be in. I don't know where the next phrase will come from until I get there. When I'm in the zone, I listen to those spaces, and then the music, it's like turning a corner. I won't know what's there until I get right at that space. And that keeps it really fresh for me. I don't go into the studio with all my notes written out on paper before I get in there. I go in there, I meditate, I say my prayer that the music is designed and composed with the intention of serving the highest and best and create a healing space for the listener. And then I let the music flow. And I've had so many experiences over the years that are documented because I'm in a studio that can record it. And sometimes I'm with other people who have seen things happen. And I get into more of that in my memoir, which I'm finishing writing now, that has really confirmed for me that what I do is not just a figment of my own imagination. I've been getting help, and now, finally, I am able to go out in public and say that some of the help that I've gotten over the years has been from the green plants, from the spirit allies that come through the cannabis strains. And I have no ego problem saying that I get some help. I used to joke in concerts that I actually have a band, even though it's just me on stage with my keyboard and the grand piano. I have a band, but most of you can't see them. And usually there's always a few aura readers or people who can see into other dimensions, and they come up and say, ah, we know what you're talking about, because here's what we see behind you on stage. And they all say the same things. And I say, well, that's great, because I don't see them, but I could feel them, and I know that I'm getting some assistance. And that's also an energy that is encoded onto the music, that is not just my own healing energies, but the healing energies that come through get literally recorded onto the, now it's the computer, little you know, zeros and ones, used to go into analog tape, but that is transmitted and radiated out to the listener in the same way that in a concert, the emotional and physical and spiritual state of the performer is transmitted to the audience.
Stephen, it's been wonderful to have you as a guest. I would encourage everybody to get this amazing album. After a year of disease, Stephen brings us the possibility with music to move more into ease, into wellness, into health. Thank you so much, Stephen, for being with me here at Voice Rising.
Thank you. It's been a delight being with you. And stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. I'd love to have you back on for your memoir.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye.